Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. Our ministry is going to bring you revelation truth from the Bible through Hebrew eyes. And today, Danielle, what are we going to be speaking about?
We're going to be speaking about two women, two nations, two lives, one Lord.
Wow, that sounds good.
Interesting. I can't wait to hear this one.
This is good. Now, that's coming out of our extensive and intensive tape series called The Sparrow of the Exodus, which is going to be one of the tape series you can find on our website, which is at www.forhisglory.org. We're taking a section from that teaching and we'll develop it now further. Now, remember, the story recounts for us all with the account of two women, actually one woman and one young girl, recorded by the Lord's writer Mark in Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21 to 43. Mark 5, 21 to 43. All right? So we're teaching on what topic? We're teaching on two women,
two nations, two lives,
and
one Lord.
Very good. Mark 5:21. I want you to notice how the multitudes gathered around Jesus. He's the center, and that's very appropriate and very right. He's the focal point of our attention. He is the center of all activity. Next verse, 5:22, we see a synagogue ruler, and be sensitive to all the names too, please. He's a ruler. He's one, therefore, in authority. He's a man of learning, a synagogue ruler. His name is Jairus, but in Hebrew, his name is Yair, all right? Now, all the names, the numbers, the events in the Bible, all are very, very significant, all right? Why? Because it is the Word of God. All of it is the Word of God. So, the synagogue ruler's name is Yair, which, when you translate it, must mean
something.
Exactly, must mean something. It means he will enlighten. This man's faith would be instrumental in the healing of his own daughter, as he petitioned the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he continued in faith. Say continued with me.
Continued.
Right? You got to keep your faith muscles worked out and keep them exercising. In response to the Lord's command to do not fear, just believe. In verse 36 of the same chapter, Mark 5, that was of major importance to the favorable outcome, all right? The Lord said, do not fear, just believe. And he believed, and he will be enlightened, all right, in his name. Now, the man was a synagogue ruler, thus he was Jewish, okay? Now, of course, then his daughter was what?
Jewish.
Well, that's good. Of course, that's great. Now, the chapters end, we find out at the end, she's how old? She's
12.
Exactly. She's a 12-year-old young girl. Now, this story of Yair and his daughter and the Lord Jesus Christ is very intricately woven with another account. The story of the woman who's been bleeding for how long?
12 years.
Ah, for 12 years. So that we are absolutely riveted with our attention onto the fact they're dovetailed accounts. Plus, there's something about 12 years that ties these two together because we are told. Therefore, it must have significance that we need to know, all right?
Right.
This woman's bleeding for 12 years. She approaches the Lord Jesus Christ while he's on his way to heal a Jewish young girl at the house of Yair. He will enlighten. Remember, that's his name. Now, the woman, we learned right away, was bleeding, right, for 12 years. Don't miss the point. Now, something then has to be drawn to our attention here, because the Holy Spirit dovetailed these accounts for us. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things, including the significance of these things. One, we see a woman bleeding for how long?
12 years.
Exactly, 12 long years. Anybody who's suffering, and unfortunately that is often the many, we understand that time runs at a different clock for people when they're suffering than when they're having a great time. It is a very long, slow time, and it's a long, long 12 years. We also see a little girl born then 12 years ago. Now, wait a minute. When the woman began to bleed, And the life is in the...
blood.
Exactly. Leviticus 17:11. Good, Danielle. The life is in the blood. So one, 12 years ago, began to bleed.
In other words, she started to lose her life.
Exactly. She began to lose that essence of life, lose life itself. Of course, life, very good, is in the...
blood.
Blood. Exactly. When this one began to die, the little girl was born at the same time, 12 years ago, meaning at the 12-year mark. One was bleeding, was growing steadily worse. Not only was she bleeding, she was getting worse and worse as time went on. Her condition by the 12th year had deteriorated. She also, during the time, had sought the help of men, which was, in her case, of no avail. And that's a key point for us to remember. The help of man is of no avail. When we want help, we're to go to the helper. The helper, to God. God then will appoint and anoint people as necessary in our lives who are specifically called and equipped by God to meet our needs. But that is a product of a God decision. If we go to man first for help, horizontally, instead of God first, vertically, then we put man and man's ways as the master and we make God second where he's first and we stop counting. Always go to God first in all things, and as you pray and petition God, God will then tell you as you need. Go to the doctor, go to the library, ask your teacher, ask your pastor, call your friend, call your mother, whoever. But the principle is flawless and forever. You are to go, as well as I, to God first in all things. She sought the help of man. It was of no avail. Then she found out when man is of no avail, God is still available. She went then to God for help. She was desperate, and she needed the deliverer to deliver her. Now, we don't know how long the daughter, remember she is now also 12 years old, we don't know how long the daughter, the synagogue ruler, was sick, but what we can well appreciate is the fact that she was quite ill. Because also in her case, by the time she was 12 years old, she was at the Bible says in verse 23, Mark 5:23, she was, quote, at the point of death. So they're both dying, they're both desperate, and they both need Jesus, because there's no one but the Lord himself who can meet your needs, period. Period. We have to know that. She too needed the deliverer, but was represented in her case by her father, right?
Right.
The one who's bleeding for 12 years comes herself. The little girl is at the point of death. The father represented her. He's a ruler of the synagogue. Now, people, we can, when someone is in desperate need, we can stand in the gap. We can pray for them. We can help them. We can petition the Lord for them if we love them enough. We can stand for them enough and reach God and bring to pass what God has given into their lives and be that bridge to bring to them who have the great need. Okay? Don't forget. Now remember, Yair was a synagogue ruler, a ruler of the synagogue, and through his faith in the words of the Word incarnate himself, Jesus the Christ, would be instrumental in his daughter's recovery. Now notice too carefully that one came to touch him. She touched the hem of his garment. What did she...
did she touch the hem or did she touch him?
Good question. She actually touched the hem, not him. The hem in Hebrew deals with the prayer shawl, the talit, the fringes, tzitziot. So she touched the, good question, Danielle, she touched the tzitziot, the fringes of the garment. There's a whole study on that. Really, the fringes were so designed in such a way in Judaism to represent all 613 commandments. They also spell out the name of God, meaning the Lord is one. So when she touched that, she really touched the Lord through his word. Because he is the living word, and that embodied it. So in touching it, she touched him. Jesus was called by some of his early followers HaTorah, the Torah, because he's the living word of God.
So the talit represents the commandments. So when he said, who touched me, and she actually touched the talit, he's saying that he is the Torah?
Yes, you could say it that way nicely. He is the Torah, he's the living Torah. Very good.
Wow.
Yes. Now, one reached out to touch him, obedient to the law of faith, knowing in faith she would be healed. And she was. To another, to the little girl, the Lord himself reached out with his faith, and taking her by the hand, and he spoke life to her, and commanded her to rise, and she obeyed, and did. One came to him in public, and the other came to him in private. One was in the world, the other was separated from the world. One was outside, the other was inside. One was amidst the crowd, the other was amidst the chosen few. One reached and touched his garment with her hand. The other he touched her and took her by the hand. One touched him from behind. The other he touched face to face. One came up from behind and bent down to touch the fringes of his garment, his prayer shawl. The other, to the little girl, he bent down to touch her, taking her by the hand. One came alone, the woman believing for her healing. The other he came too, with a company of believers. One, the bleeding woman, came without her parents present, whereas the child's parents were present. One spoke in her heart words of faith followed by the feet of faith. The other was off her feet and not speaking. Through the heart of faith of her father, though, she still spoke. One kept coming, though bleeding, gradually dying and getting worse. The other, the little girl, died and lay there where she died. One knew she was getting worse and needed to be healed. The child's parents, too, knew that she, too, was getting worse and needed to be healed. One pursued him through the crowds. The other he pursued through the crowds. One was healed in the midst of a crowd. Yet the other was healed only after the unfaithful crowd was thrown out of the way of faith. The Lord entered in and only with the faithful. One, as he spoke to, unbelievers came to give a report of death, which he, the Lord, ignored. The other, as he came to the house to give the report of life, first, she is not dead but asleep. And the unbelieving ignored him and ridiculed him. He then threw them out. The other, the little girl, though dead to the world, just was asleep in the eyes of the Master. One falls down before him after she was healed. The other began to walk around. One he spoke to after she was healed. The other he spoke to others present. One spoke to him after she was healed. The other we have no record. Of all this, of one thing we're sure. Their lives and the histories of these two women are wedded together forever for us to see, for us to learn, and for us to wonder after this perfect one that loves them both, the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach.
Joel, what is significant about the lives of these two people, the older one right. with the blood issue and the younger girl who died? What is the significance of their lives to us?
Right. Is God trying to tell us something?
Is God trying to tell us something?
Yeah, I think so. Let's develop that out. Now, this is going to come through, as you well know, Danielle, an interesting word in Hebrew, because one came to him from behind.
Yes.
Now, in English, that word behind just means behind, but the root of the word is ahar. Say it with me for everybody.
Ahar.
Exactly. Means behind. And it's also a root of the word acharon. Acharon, A-C-H-A-R-O-N, A-C-H-A-R-O-N, acharon, A-C-H-A-R-O-N. Now that means last, latter, the one behind, get ready for this, future.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, now we missed that in English, we don't see how that joins, but that's just Hebrew, that's the way it is. So etymologically, we see the word acharon, from which we get the word achar, last, latter, the one behind, or future. So when we see the woman coming to him from behind him, That also means, yes, she was physically there behind them. But what does it also mean? She was coming to him in the
future.
Ah, there we go. Exactly. Because who wrote this book?
God did.
Exactly. And God's teaching us things, right?
That's right.
And when God's teaching it, we should expect God truth, all right? And that's the truth. So, yes, physically she came up from behind them, but it's God's book, and he wants us to understand the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And we have to if we're to penetrate and understand the deeper things of God. Yes,
that,
Danielle.
That means she was in the future.
Exactly. Because remember, in Matthew 10:6, the apostles, when they were commissioned, were told by Jesus, go to the lost, quote, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then later, at the end of the ministry in Acts 1:8, before the Lord ascended to heaven, it says, recording the Lord's words, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So first only to the Jews, later to the whole world. Yes, Danielle.
Was she a Jew or was she a Gentile?
Best evidence that I've seen is that, that's a great point, is that the one who came up from behind was a Gentile, whereas the little girl, the daughter of Yair, who's a synagogue ruler, he's a Jew, so the little girl's a Jew, all right, obviously. So we have a classic picture here of the Gentile and the Jew, and they both need Jesus.
Right.
One comes to him from behind in the future. Jesus is going face to face too in the present to the house of the Jew to heal the Jew, all right? But this woman didn't wait for the future, even though the Lord went and told his apostles to go first to the Jew, because the biblical principle throughout the Bible is to the Jew first and then to the Greek or the rest of the world, meaning. It doesn't mean better. It's God's divine order. The Jews are a chosen people, but chosen to do a job. And if you remember carefully, in Genesis 14:13, Abraham is the first Hebrew. And as the first Hebrew, we have to also remember that the first Hebrew, the Jews, came from where? Gentiles. His father was Terah, a Gentile. So the first Jew, or the first Hebrew, if you will, the first Hebrew is a Gentile, who God calls out of the world and calls into special covenant, all right? Very significant point to study deeply. So back to the story. One woman didn't wait for, as you say, Daniel, for the future, but went after him in the present. She reached out to the Jewish Messiah, who alone is a savior for the whole world. And she reached out to him what anybody can do at any time, in faith and patience, persevering until she reached him, the object and the reason and the purpose for her quest. Now she reached out and touched the fringes of his talit, his prayer shawl. So she touched the righteousness of God found in the commands of God. She touched that which is God himself. All right? Further, notice carefully the distinction that Jesus makes in Mark 5:30 when he says, who touched me? Who touched? Now, what did he actually say? He said, who touched my garments, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is important. He said, who touched me? No. He said, who touched what?
My garments.
Exactly, who touched my garments. Now, notice the next verse, though, in 31, Mark 5:31. His disciples, his Talmidim, his disciples said, you see the multitudes pressing in on you. You see the multitudes pressing in on you. You say, who touched me? Now, what's the difference between the two? Jesus said, who touched
my garment?
And the apostle said, who touched
you?
Ah. They said, Lord, they're quoting the Lord, who touched me? Now they see something absolutely in sync here. They see a relationship between garments and the Lord. It wasn't just something that was a possession. It's emblematic of a much deeper understanding. Now, study the fringes carefully. We need to know our whole Bible instantly and comprehensively whenever we study. Study in the book of Numbers, Bamidbar, Numbers 15:37-41. We are told to wear fringes on the corners of the prayer shawl, the talit, which in a very sophisticated way embody and represent all 613 commandments of God. Now, Jesus is, as Danielle, you pointed out before, the Torah. He is the embodiment of all the commandments of God. Now, She was behind them, right? So what is what you asked before? Let's answer that more deeply. She represents the Gentiles who were in the future. God's coming to the Jew first, but not only. Remember, as this Gentile so vividly points out for us, as well as who? The Syrophoenician woman and the Roman centurion and others, that true faith, great faith, will transverse time and bring you, by faith and patience, to inherit the promises. Amen? By faith and patience, you inherit the promises. So when she touched the Lord, who was on his way to heal a Jew, a young girl at 12 years of age, the Gentiles were in the future, the Jews were in the present. But after she touched him, by stepping into the future through faith and patience and a relentless pursuit to receive her healing in the present, what did the Lord do? He
turned.
Ah! When anything the Lord does is totally lordly significant, because he's doing it. And it's all God and always God while being man, okay? So he turned. Thus he demonstrated to us all who have the ears to hear what the Lord the Spirit is saying, the Lord the Spirit to the churches, that his response to faith, for many pressed in on him, but only one touched him with faith for what she needed. When he said, "Who touched my garments?" And the apostle said, "Many are pressing in on you." But you say, "Look, who touched me?" Really, many pressed in, but only one touched him. With faith, okay? Big difference, people. One touched him with faith for what she needed, and we could do the same today. Further, the prophetic implications are enormous, for when the Lord turned, the Jews were now where?
In the future.
They were behind him in the
future.
Exactly. So we see a prophetic picture that now the door is open to the Gentiles. But the Lord would turn his face again toward his people. He has never forgotten his people. Read never, never, never. Read Romans 9. 10, 11, the Jews are the sheep of his pasture. He told the leadership, here represented by Yair, he will enlighten, that the Lord would enlighten him here. The Lord told him to do what? Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. The Lord would turn his face a second time, say a second time with me,
a second time,
toward his people, guide the nation's leadership in true faith, taking his faithful, believing remnant here, represented by Peter, Jacob, and John, three believing messianic Jews, to touch a nation, raise her up, restore her fully by his touch in person. All unbelief would be thrown out. Only believers would enter. Underlying that understanding is the fact that, Romans 11:15, for if their rejection be the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be except life from the dead? For the sake of her father's faith, she was being restored. We, as a Jewish nation, are also going to be fully restored due to the promises of God. In Romans 11:26-7, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Underlying that understanding is the fact that, for if their rejection be the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be? There, the Jews, what will their acceptance be except life from the dead? Romans 11:15. He turned most graciously his face to them a second time. He came, and he reached for her, his little girl. To him she was not dead, but asleep. He alone raised her. The faith of a believing father, a ruler of the synagogue, was required, as in the future it will be required of Israel's leaders. For the Lord himself said to them, to the scribes and the Pharisees, to the leaders of Jerusalem, in Matthew 23:39, you shall not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord. We bless you out of the house of the Lord. And they all said,
amen.
Amen and amen.